Hallo, willkommen zu China Hotpot. Heute hören Sie eine Sondersendung. Es geht um eine Veranstaltung am 13.06.2023 mit dem Titel Smart Factory 2.0. Die Veranstaltung fand auf Gelände von der Firma Bloom in Shanghai statt. Die Veranstaltung wurde in Englisch aufgenommen. Willkommen zu China Hotpot, Podcast für deutsche kleine und mittelständige Unternehmen für den Erfolg im chinesischen Markt. Mein Name ist Xiaolong Hu, Ihr Gastgeber.
Hi, good afternoon. Yeah, thank you very much and thank you for staying with us for so long time. And my name is Xiaolong Hu, and 3 years ago I founded the China team. And today I'm very happy to with you and share some experience from our experts to you. And the panel discussion we are going to have is kind of summarize of today's meeting. And all of us have different background, and we had a very good inputs from different experts, from speeches, from greeting words. And I think it's a good idea that we could somehow work out a group result after today. And that's why I invited 4 guests with me to be arranged in the front and to have seat. So please, the experts, please don't be shy and come to me and have a seat. So Biana, if you could take the first seat on the very left-hand side, and then Jürgen, the second place, and Paul, please take the third one, and Stefan, please take a place near to me. Yes, all right, that's a nice picture. All right, Mr. Bauer, Mr. Duan, Mr. Jing, and Mr. Rashka, so in the right order. We have heard a lot of about manufacturing. Actually, manufacturing is a very important function for our human beings' prosperity, but also the development of our society. And with ever-improving technologies, manufacturing companies are continuously improving their production concepts. We have, in the past, small batch production. That means we don't have much capacities, every product, so we only can produce in small amount, and the market requirement was also not so high in that time. And later on, in industrialization time, we have mass production. Everyone knows the Ford production lines. And today, we are talking about mass customization. That means company have to produce a lot of amount of products, but according to individual requirements. And future, we are talking about co-creation, and even company can think about sharing capacities with each other according to the market requirements. So the requirements of the market is changing, and the company has to always adapt to the technologies. And talking about technologies, 12 years ago in Hanover, in the eve of Hanover Fair, and companies like Bosch, Siemens, and also SAP announced they have a new thing that's called Industry 4.0. Our chancellor, or your chancellor, it's not my chancellor, Ms. Merkel, has also announced we have Industry 4.0. It's a made in Germany technology. And 12 years later, and 12 years is for new technology, it's quite a long time. And 12 years later, I think the core of Industry 4.0, we call it a cyber physical system. The idea is machines are not individual island anymore, they are connected through what? Through data, so cyber physical systems. So cyber physical systems is like no more innovation. On the top in innovation, we heard a lot of AI technologies. Those are today's innovation ideas. But the cyber physical system is now become to be a leading technologies. Yeah, and but who are the leaders? Where are the leaders? Who are the players? And this will be my first question to Stefan. And Stefan, do you think who exactly is the leaders of cyber physics system as solution provider, as those like Stiva, those hardware provider, or like Industrie Informatik software provider, or even you like user. Yeah, you are also very strong in this area. So what is your opinion?
My opinion is it depends on your needs. So it's, as you said before, every company has a different demand. So sometimes we have input, we get good input from our machine supplier. Sometimes we talk with software. Sometimes it's our quality department, I mentioned it before. So they are also driving us forward to do more with the data we have. I think it depends. There's not one answer.
Okay, there's no answer to this question, but I heard, at least at your end, your quality department is the driver of the innovation. And in the end, no matter who is the driver, and we have to deliver, right? And one of us is the solution provider here, typically is Paul. Paul, you are a solution provider, provider in area of software. And but as I know, software companies have to continuously improve themselves and develop their own competences day by day, year by year. And what's your current requirements from the customer side to push you into towards the machines so that you should collect the machine data as well, no more only responsible for develop any software and to make sure that the software is running?
That's exactly. Machine data collection is, I think, for the smart factory is normally the first biggest requirement from most of our customers. But now sometimes it's also changing, because right now what we met is that most of our customers, they already have collected enough machine data. The topic is how to use that, how to make the data talk to support your decision making. Yeah, this is what I met actually right now.
Okay, the answer is you have to, yeah, and your challenge is so if the customer has the data already or you have to collect the data, how is the solution so that the data can be used adequately?
That's true.
All right. So now I would like to switch to another angle to Biana. The next question goes to Biana. Before Biana answers the question, maybe everyone would like to know who is that guy. And I can answer to you, Biana has 20 years China experience. We know each other since 18 years, right? And Biana is agent for commercial properties, like office, but like factories. And since 20 years, you are in the area of presenting nice objects to industrial companies. Yeah, and I can describe you like a working book of China's industrialization history. So I'm very happy to have you here, Biana. So during the last 20 years, and you have been consulting a lot of companies, can you tell us the change of the focus of those industrial companies, or a move of the industries alongside the 20 years?
Sure, but I need to probably try to capture into a few words. But what we have seen a lot is, of course, that that Shanghai and China went from a low-cost country to a mid- to high-cost environment, and that companies are focusing on totally different things, and that technically the requirements have totally changed, and that environmental requirements, for example, in Shanghai used to be very low 20 years ago, and now they can be much higher than they would be in many places in Europe. So we have companies from Austria, Germany, Switzerland that come with their technology and their clean process, and they're very proud, and they want to do that in Shanghai or Jiangsu or Zhejiang, and they realize that's very different, and things that they wanted to do here, they have had to apply even higher standards, and they have to use different methods and more advanced or more strict, etc. And the buildings, of course, which is a bit at the core of what we do, right? Land or factory buildings, manufacturing buildings, warehouses, the requirements have increased a lot because of that automation, because of the robots, because of like the floor loading capacity, the ceiling height. All of these requirements are actually going up a lot. And that can be also a challenge if you have a place, let's say like Shanghai, that is already quite developed. Like that's a bit the same thing, like you have a better metro system in Shanghai than you have in Hong Kong, because Hong Kong was first. And nowadays, you sometimes have better buildings and business parks one or two tiers out because they started the development later and can right away go to a better place. But the changes are towards much higher requirements in terms of technology. Then, of course, you have to balance it with the talent and so on, but that's probably yet another topic.
All right. Thank you, Bianna. And as you all can realize, he's really a walking book of China's industrialization history. If you would like to read this book or have a view at his videos, you will find him on YouTube channel as well. And my next question goes to Jürgen Duan. And Jürgen, we also know each other since 18 years. It's a really long time. And Jürgen has been working for German and Chinese cooperation for 20 years. And in this time, he has been promoting Taicang as an attractive location towards German companies and state continuously. And the result is now we have nearly 500 German companies are located in Taicang. And he names himself after a German soccer, Jürgen Klinsmann, so Jürgen Duan. And somebody told me Jürgen is maybe the most German civil servant in the Chinese government. And I mean this very positively as it's a compliment. It's a, don't misunderstood me. And Jürgen, my question is, how important is China for those state-of-the-art industries?
As you know, although most of the companies in the early days, they came to enter the Chinese market for lower cost, for lower labor costs especially. But now, you know, the market is still there. But in this region, especially in Yangtze Delta, you know, most of the companies suffering from shortage of laborers, and so increase the costs. Therefore, they need to adapt more automation, more up-to-date machinery here to improve their efficiency, production efficiency. So, the market, I think, it remains very important still as for the European, not just for the European, but for the global players. So, if you want to remain competitive, not only with your capitals in Europe, but also in China, you know, many of the Chinese companies, local companies also, have been growing very fast. They are willing to invest a lot more in technology, in machinery, to be competitive or to remain competitive. You need to install more automation, more updated machinery, not only just some simple parts, do some simple assembly, or labor-intensive production. That's not for the current now.
Okay, so we understood that still a lot of interest to invest in China. It's true, because if you read the figures in the last 2 years, and German investments in China is on the very top in the whole history. So most of the investment coming from the profit of the in China operating subsidiaries. So that means German companies are not only willing to invest in China, but they are also very successful, so that they have enough money to invest, reinvest in China as well. And that's why I made a new video, how to negotiate with industrial parks to have a good land. If you are interested, you can view this video afterwards. And my next question goes to Stefan. If we are talking about new technologies, we are talking also about AI. AI means artificial intelligence. Yeah. But who is really the boss of the new factory or in the new generation of factory? Who is really managing the factory?
At the moment, still, it's us humans. It's we are setting the goals. We identify where we want to go. We follow our company philosophy. Maybe it's quality, maybe it's cost-driven, maybe it's both or something totally different. That's still us. But the tools should help us. We discussed before, we have millions of data. It's also even here in this small assembly yet. But the aim is we only have 24 hours per day. How what can we do with it? No? So at the end, it's us humans. We have to make the decisions. We have to use the tools. We are getting there, getting better. So somehow it's still us.
Somehow, and assume you are still managing the factory in a new generation, and but we need to also design the factory as well. So talk with Paul. The sophisticated factory concept is not such easy. And who is really responsible to design this kind of Industry 4.0 or Smart Factory 2.0 factory? And who is delivering this kind of concept? Is this like you solution providers or even the project teams from the customer side, like the core team from, for example, Stefan's factory?
It's actually together. It is about cooperation. Yeah, teamwork. Because normally, most of our customers, they already have very good internal teams for that, and they know very deep about their requirement. But for our consultant, you know, we familiar with our products, but not their current problem. So that means we have to normally have to organize some workshop and discuss together, and let's find the real gap between their expectation and the current situations. So this is about cooperation.
Okay, so we're talking about people again. That leads us to the next question. And Stefan said that it's a huge challenge raised to the operational managers, operational staffs. And Paul said in the project phase while designing the factory, the requirement is quite high. That means, in general, yeah, the challenge for the future HR directors are quite difficult now. And now my next question goes to Biana. And Biana, as you can observe, you have been consulting many companies investing in China. And as a German company always do, they have different kind of criteria to be evaluated. One of the criteria is HR. Availability. So can you observe that there's a trend, HR availability is a major deciding factors, and why?
Yeah, absolutely. Like originally our company comes from the real estate side, but quite openly speaking, when you look at land and factory costs, and even though in China real estate is quite expensive, in the greater scheme of things, it's usually a minor. It's not as important as talent, as labor, as access to raw materials, as logistics. Like when you put all these things together, then even the so-called high property cost is usually not the deal breaker. And companies are very well advised to go where they find the right talent. And that's both like highly skilled talent, that's also the blue collar, and that's also a lot of in between. Like when I see, when we went to through the Bloom factory and we saw these feeders and all these machines, there you sometimes need, and Bloom is of course highly automized, but I'm also visiting all these factories and often we see a lot of manual labor still, and I'm asking, okay, why is the machine not doing that? They say, okay, from 4 million pieces and above, it makes sense for us to have a machine, but these orders are typically whatever, 300,000, 500,000, so we do them manually. So that's still totally there, and there we find interesting things. That's, for example, in the Taizhang, Nantong, Zhangjiagang area, you have areas where you have a lot of people that have some sort of physical, they're good at making furniture, that's what the school they went for, they're good at making these kind of things. I think the colleague from Stiva, who is in Nantong, they're totally at the right place for their kind of machine assembly, all of that. So we find that to be very important. And we even had some, we saw some client stories, you know, where the client said, oh, I'm moving from Shanghai out to Hefei because, wow, it's wonderful and the government treats me like a king and I get all this and wonderful. And then they can't get the talent. And then they move back. And then, of course, whatever, they move back to Suzhou SIP. And some companies just, they insist to making mistake after mistake. And maybe I can add something on the talent thing. Taizhang started to do something beautiful. And it's a coincidence that it's here to the event together with Taizhang. But I hear they are now having a program where every year after the summer, after the exams, they get in graduated students and they give them a free train ticket and 1 week of free stay at a dorm plus free food in order to apply for jobs. And that, of course, gives a good influx of talent, young talent, into the city, helping all these, whatever, 480 and other companies. So those are things that, of course, make a location attractive.
Great, great job. It was actually my next question to Jürgen, but I totally agree with you, Biana. So I just heard Taizang, Taizang, Taizang. So my next question is still to Jürgen. So what do you do to prepare for those challenges to help German companies and Austrian companies to be successful in Taizang area, in area of HR and human resources? What kind of support do you provide?
Yeah, we always get the results of the surveys from the organizations like AHK, asking which is the most important factor for choosing a location. Number one, always the people, good people and qualified people. Therefore, we also found out that the people from schools, from unis, they cannot be directly used for the production, for manufacturing, especially these days, if you have modern technologies, you need good, well-trained people, good qualified people. Therefore, since two decades already, we introduced the German dual education system. Together with the companies, we established a big number of training centers to train the young people, young Chinese people, according to the requirements of the companies of different industries. So far, we have altogether 15 training centers, tooling, mechatronics, engineering, and so on. But you know, the industries are now have been developed, very fast. So this, we're also updating the training, not only the capacity, but also the directions of training centers. So based on our experience over the last 20 years, so we are now modernizing the curriculums also according to the requirements of smart factories. You know, more and more companies are now installing more robotics, and combining development, R&D, and production. So the requirements for HR for people is getting very high. Therefore, we also have to follow the trend, yeah, to make, you know, the quality of the people supply better. So that's what we are doing. Besides the two universities, the two campuses, and also the schools of these universities, we also have been talking for a pretty long time with the operators of the schools, of the universities. We focus now on AI, artificial intelligence, semiconductors. You know, smart manufacturing not just means production, but also, you know, also a lot of ideas and thinking to be more creative, to combine the hardware and the software. Currently, the requirements for people is getting more complex. If just trained or educated at the school cannot fulfill the requirements of the companies. Therefore, we need to get the companies also involved, to get the industry involved. Together, we developed the curriculums, direct the directions, which the companies really need.
Okay, thank you so much. The next question goes to Stefan, but one comment to Jürgen. Good luck, and I believe you will have success. Your success also gave us the certainty that you always have the good sense for what a German company is looking for. And I still have two questions to go. If you have any question from the audience, you have a last chance to raise your hand. And my next question goes to Stefan to complete this picture regarding HR development and what's your effort as an individual big company and try to do to catch up to match the requirement for your future stuff in the smart factory.
Yeah, it's a very important topic. And what we did, when we came here, was before we came, we started a project in German Kompetenzaufbau. It's it's all different departments. We have an internal consulting company in our company. We have teachers. They really studied how to train people. And we started a big project internally, how to bring the knowledge we need in the factory to the people in a reasonable time. That's also a question. And we don't have the time when you ramp up such a factory to send people to apprenticeship for 3.5 years. And so it has to be done in a reasonable time, and that's what we did, and that's what we're still doing. We have a trainer role defined in our company, so we invest a lot of time and money in educating. And it's not because we like it so much, but it's otherwise it's not possible. And that's also a question I would like to ask, because we talk about universities, and Tongji is a very famous university, and so on. Is it? And the question I always ask myself, is it still attractive for young Chinese people to work in an industrial environment? Because they look like classical, let's say, blue-collar workers in production, but obviously they are not. As I say, are highly trained software engineers, but they have to work on shift, and that's maybe night shift and weekend shift. That's something which is not so common in China. So how do you see this as a Chinese?
Any experts would like to answer this question?
He wants from a Chinese person, but I think it's just talent. It's just a shortage, and then it's always the mix, right? It's how much money do I get? How much prestige do I get? How much service do I get? Transportation, food, family, all these things. I think when all these things are met in a good way, right? I mean, I think we generally experience Chinese people as very hardworking, as very diligent. But of course, there's a competition in the market, and I often hear the German companies complaining that, oh, my talent, my team member left me because somebody else paid them 500 RMB more. And I believe that's yes, because you had messed up already. You didn't have a strong connection in the first place, and then the person leaves for 500 RMB more. If you have a good environment and a trusted and a good, and people feel safe and see the future, see the vision, then they wouldn't quit their job for 500 RMB more. Of course, the HR expert person know even better.
I sense, Stefan, we need another session, another event to answer your question. It's not very easy to answer your question in a very short time. And I'm looking into the round. There's no hand. There is one question. Okay. So can somebody give Frank a microphone?
Yeah, thank you very much. My name is Frank. I'm teaching right now for College of Shanghai University for Science and Technology. And so I'm dealing with masses of students who are not engaged. The parents pay for their education, and they don't grasp opportunity. So I struggle with that. And despite working hard and getting good feedbacks from my teachings, but I would say like 80% of the students are not engaged. And I tell them, like 20% of the young people, but like in this age, like 16 to 25, they don't have a job. 1, 2, 3, 4. Shalong, you would be not employed, right? So, and I'm trying to break into that, to make these students more engaged. And so I invite all the speakers from the industry to come and to share on the campus what you're doing, and to spread a message how attractive the jobs are. Because the students just say they fall asleep in the class in the morning because they game through the night. So they try with minimum effort to get through the exam. Like they're happy with a 40. Yeah? So in our school they pass with 40%. So I think there's a disconnect to find, there are plenty of students, a lot of people unemployed, but still they don't get it, what it is needed to thrive in a workplace.
I totally agree with you, Frank. It's a talent war, and no matter where in the world you talk about, and everywhere is looking for qualified talents, and especially like China, because we need a big amount of talents, or in Germany, because maybe there's not a big amount of talents. And therefore, we maybe really need another event to dealing with this topic about HR requirements and HR availability on the one hand side. There's another the guys who would like to have.
I have actually one more question to Stefan as well. So how do you rate yourself on a maturity matrix towards where you are on factory 2.0? Right. So how do you measure where you are today and where you need to be in 3 to 5 years? So where do you set priorities?
So where's your maturity level?
Yeah, good question. Depends on who you ask also. We are very bad. We are a traditional family-owned company. We are very bad in buzzwords. We know that we do some things very well. We have integrated systems. But I really can't tell you. As I said, I tried to explain, and your question was also, what is industry 2.0 and so on. I think it's very individual. We all have individual tasks. When we talk about assembly, we work very well with Stiva and their systems, but we have also other departments where no Stiva machines are involved and so on. So really, I can't. I only know that we are producing as much as we should. And with a quite limited number of staff in a very good quality. So that's what we can guarantee. And how is it called? I don't know.
Yeah, very shy, but very German style answer. Oh, Frank again. Yeah, I will allow another last question, and afterwards I would like to finish. Grace.
Yeah,
please.
I have a question here. Our company in China about 20. We are here in 2004. That time is just a wrap office. So I also see our company, a German company, but our localization is mostly rely on the headquarters. And our internally, we met many cases here, such as goods shortage, such as lack of labors. And we want to find the employee who are right for our company. It's very difficult in China market. And also see our student, just our teachers mentioned, it's very difficult to encourage them work in industry. Factory, it's very difficult. Also, I see we need to build up a teacher program in our factory in industry area. It's very important. What's their interest? What's their not only mobile game? I think it's very important for our China student. It's very important. Not always studying school, just studying school. It's very important. So I think our company also lack of this kind of teachers inside company.
All right. Thank you for sharing and good comments. And we go to Frank. You have another question, right?
Okay. So when we walked the shop floor, so the products looked very simple. I don't want to, make it smaller than it is. I know I'm an engineer, so it's very, very sophisticated, like the curvature and the material strength and whatever. So it's very sophisticated. And I was asking myself, we all know the German automotive companies struggle, and American companies also, they lose market share with their cars. And why can you thrive here where copy is all around? And how can you have such a strong position and all our strong automotive companies don't?
So, Stefan, tell us your secret.
That's a very good question. No, what I can say is I think we have a very good marketing and sales department. We work very hard to understand our Chinese customers. So we make a lot of market research. What is the difference between a Chinese kitchen and a European or US kitchen? We always try to give the customer and not on the customer from dealer to end customer the biggest benefit. For sure, it's a very simple device. A furniture hinge looks very simple, but the differences are in detail. And we try to convince our customers that with our product you have 200,000 opening cycles guaranteed. Fun. It will not break after 10 or 20 times. But you're right. We have a lot of local competition. We have a lot of copycats. There are a lot of products branded with our logo, but not made in this factory. And we have several hundred or even thousands of local competitors making similar products like us. But when you use a lot of manual labor, today the quality is different than tomorrow and the day after tomorrow. And we do automation not only for fun, it's also to guarantee quality. I mentioned it before, and this was one of the main drivers why Bloom chose this way 40 years ago, because we want to make sure that every product is the same. And it's not easy when you produce such big quantities, as you saw before, but that's the reason. And maybe customers understand that when they get more for their money as when they buy something in the first look cheaper. That's maybe my explanation.
So the difference is in the detail. So it's a quite good summarizing phrase, I would say. My very last question goes to Stefan as well. You are the host and you have to answer the most of the questions. Talking about ramp up your factory, talking about an excellent job of your marketing and sales guy. And we have a look at your factory. Those are all hinge production, right? You have different products. And is this everything you are going to produce here a hinge? Or are you going to launch new products as well? And are you looking for new areas?
We have much, much more systems. We have runner systems, box systems. We have for lifting doors. We have half automated, fully automated. But China is, and that's is a hinge market. So most Chinese kitchens still use hinges. Some sophisticated box systems are not so common in China. So that's why we decided to start with a hinge production for China. But it doesn't mean that we will stay with it. And there are more products in the pipeline, customers for Chinese demands, following Chinese design wishes and what we found out. So there's a lot more to come, and that's also the reason why the building is so big. And today you only saw a small part. So we are still confident, and we hope to fill this factory as soon as possible.
Okay, we are very confident that you are confident. And thank you so much for your time. I'm very sorry about that. I have to cut. Well, it became more hot. And maybe next time, Lessons Learned, we should start the event later so that we have, at the beginning, a very hot atmosphere. And so may I thank you all for your contribution. And please have a seat. Stay here. I will give the microphone to my colleague, Angela, to finish this event officially. And Angela, from my side, thank you very much for your all effort for the organization and execution of this event. And I just fly in yesterday, and I could enjoy a lot during the event. So thank you so much from my side, and I hope I did my job. It's not my fault. So Angela, your turn.
Yes, so thank you again, our dear panelists, and also thank you our online participants. So we're coming to the end of the event today. So from what we have seen, the very smart digital factory of Bloom, and what we have heard from our speeches, our experts. So we come to the conclusion that even up to today, with the smart factory and intelligence production, China is still one of the most important and most attractive market for sales as well as for production. And for sure, Taipan is one of the most attractive place for us as German or Austrian companies to come to China to start the business here.
Das war unsere heutige Episode. Ich bin Xiaolong Hu, Ihr China-Coach für Ihren Geschäftserfolg. Wenn Sie als deutscher KMU noch mehr über China wissen möchten, empfehle ich Ihnen unsere kostenlose englischsprachige Webinar-Serie China Webinar zu besuchen. Oder schreiben Sie gerne eine Mail an mich persönlich unter der Webseite china-team.de. Mit über 100 China-Experten können wir Ihnen gerne weiterhelfen. Bis nächstes Mal und 再见.